Coming up on today's show.
This goes back to Bishop Petrocchi. Bring them in on what they want to be at. So these kids want to play in the best high school baseball game they can play in. But once I've got them there, now it's our job to evangelize them and help them grow in their relationship with Christ.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that's the name of the Facebook group, its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Was it intentional, or are we just assuming? There was controversy in the National Hockey League recently. Anaheim Ducks defenseman Radko Gudas was suspended for 5 games for what the NHL Department of Player Safety deemed, quote, a forceful, dangerous, and direct knee-on-knee collision, end quote. In the process, the incident ended the season of Toronto Maple Leafs captain Austin Matthews. Regarding the length of the suspension, the head coach for Toronto commented, quote, the guy doing it is a repeat offender. It just doesn't seem like enough, end quote. And then fans start jumping in with their take as well. There is a tendency to pretend to know what someone was thinking when incidents like these happen. People want to play the premeditated card. Never mind what others think, though, whether in sports, at our jobs, out in public, or in the social hall after Sunday Mass, we must challenge ourselves to carry ourselves at all times the way that we are called to. In the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, quote, whoever walks honestly walks securely, but one whose ways are crooked will fare badly. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been coaching and working within the game of baseball for over 20 years and has been working in Catholic ministry for over 10 years. He has previously spent time coaching at every level of baseball, from youth to NCAA Division I baseball. During his coaching career, he has spent time on the University of Dayton baseball staff, where he helped lead them to their first ever A-10 championship. He coached at the high school level, helping to lead 2 programs to their first league championships, and helped many players move on to the next level, including 2024 8th-round draft pick of the San Diego Padres, Nick Wissman. On the faith side, he is Director of Strategic Development and Midwest Sports Missionary for Catholic Athletes for Christ. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Hendorf.
Thanks, Bruce. Excited to be here.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. And the word Midwest is in your current job title, but where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Yep, born in the Midwest in Dayton, Ohio, and I'm the oldest of 4 kids.
And what is the boy-girl breakdown of the 4 of you?
Yeah, I'm the oldest boy, 2 girls in the middle, and then a little brother.
Ah, okay. You are a cradle Catholic. Tell us about the presence of the faith in the Hendorf household when you were a young boy, including lots of Catholic education that you received, and multiple mission trips you did in high school.
Yeah, so I grew up in a house where my mom was very faithful. I remember many times saying, "Mom, why do you got to bring faith into everything we do?" Now I'm a sports missionary that says, yeah, faith is a part of every single thing we do, including athletics. So, but she was very faithful. And then my dad was the ultimate role model of what it means to be a Catholic father, Catholic husband, from how he parented us to coaching us to showing up to be an usher, you know, and his responsibilities. My mom was always a lector as well as Eucharistic minister, both in the church as well as taking it, communion to those in the hospital. So just a lot of witnesses in my life growing up, and then going to Catholic education from kindergarten through Catholic high school, and then finding my way back to the University of Dayton and getting a graduate degree from a Catholic university. A lot of education there. And then during my high school years, I did through our parish. We went through Young Neighbors in Action was the organization that did mission trips. And so I went to St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. And you roll in with a group of about 20 of your friends and do service during the day and pray at night and get to do some cool experiences like going up into the arch in St. Louis and those type of things, and just amazing opportunities to serve while also growing your faith.
But is that you saying that today, or back then as a high school student, did you say, "Hey, this is actually pretty cool"?
My mom had to like force me to get out the door when I was in between my freshman and sophomore year to go. It was a like, "Oh no, you're going to go." But part of that was is I went to Catholic high school, and almost everyone else coming from my parish were all public school kids. So it wasn't like I had that natural friend I was going with that first time. But okay. It took me all of about a half an hour down the road to realize how fun it was going to be. And then once I got there, meeting people from around the country, right? Because you roll in and I had people from just up the road at another parish, but also we had people from, you know, other parts of the Midwest to out to the West Coast. You know, there were times I was on those trips, I was people from New York to California to Wisconsin.
Nice.
It was a funny part. People in Wisconsin trying to tell a guy from Ohio he had an accent. right. Those little moments that just became so fun to just be with like-minded people. So
nice. You've done lots of coaching in baseball, but was that the sport you played when you were young? Take us back to your days as a student athlete.
Yeah, so my favorite sport growing up was basketball.
Oh.
However, I was not that talented, and I was short and slow. So that did not equate to getting to play it past your eighth grade year of CYO. Loved playing it. Still to this day is one of my favorite sports to watch. But once I got to high school, I made the baseball team, had more opportunities in that sport. And as I played it more and more, and my dad was a college baseball player, so baseball was always an important part. But I wasn't good enough to play after high school anyway. And I actually understood the game of baseball better to teach it and coach it. And part of getting into coaching right afterwards is I had a brother, my youngest brother, he's 13 years younger than me. So I immediately was coaching with my dad. And that progressed into getting to coach at the University of Dayton, getting to coach at the high school level, at the select level over the summer. And that's where then it just kind of was a runaway freight train of being involved in the game of baseball and then growing to love how much it was a tool to grow as a person as well as a great game.
Fantastic. And audience, I try to take it easy. I try not to overdo it on pounding this message in, but don't miss that in there, Mike talked about he was coaching with his dad and the fact that his dad had played so much baseball. And I do try to emphasize enough on this show how critical those relationships are because of that type of formation that you hear. And that's why I ask that question every week of guests is, how did you get started into sports? Was it by your own doing? Was it a sibling? Was it a parent? And more times than not, right, don't we hear guests on the show saying that there was some parental encouragement, some parental involvement? And so here's Mike as the latest one to testify to that. And Mike, in the intro, I mentioned that as a coach, you helped lead two high school baseball programs to their first league championship. One of those was at a Catholic high school, And you were not only their varsity baseball coach, but campus minister as well. Take us back to that time, those roles, and the clear mix of faith and sports that you were immersed in.
Yeah, so it's funny because my coaching career, actually, I started my first real full-time coaching role was at the highest level I've ever coached. So getting to be on the University of Dayton Division I staff was the first ever coaching I did. And it was in an assistant role, you know, not even on the field assistant as much as just being a part of the staff and helping in more one-on-ones and administrative roles. But I never learned more, like, as much as I loved getting to learn from my dad, the amount of knowledge I learned about the game of baseball in that 1 year propelled me into knowing, oh yeah, I want to do this. But I also realized very quickly I did not want to coach at the college level because I did know I wanted to have a family and have kids down the line. I attended the head baseball coach at UD, the year I was on staff, I attended more of his son's baseball games than he did. And so I was like, that's not the future for me. And so I then actually became a varsity baseball coach for 1 year. I was a head coach at a public school for 1 year, and it really wasn't a great fit for me, but also I then got a job at Chaminade Julien Catholic High School and flipped to becoming a varsity assistant on where the school I had gone to, and now I was a campus minister at. And so I immediately started to integrate being in charge of all of our retreat programming. Well, how can we do this and integrate it into the game of baseball before I ever even knew people were doing that? Because that was not a part of, to be fair, it was not a part of, outside of praying, outside of, you know, our athletes went on retreat when I was a student. It wasn't like, hey, here's, we're going to do a baseball retreat. And so the first year, just kind of getting back to it, it was my first year being in campus ministry, but also my first year back at CJ coaching baseball. We just kind of did baseball. It was kind of just getting the lay of the land. And my brother was a freshman on that team. So just kind of learning to get back into that group. But then starting the second year, the next 3 years, we intentionally did a preseason baseball retreat where we would, you know, spend a half a day in prayer and fellowship and talking about what we wanted to do to integrate our faith, having an alumni come in and give their testimony of – from a faith perspective, but in particular, I had a teammate who had some real trials in life and never shared it with any of us as teammates until we were close to the end of our senior year when it started to come out. And I wanted him to share that because many of our athletes on that team, you know, they start to become spoiled, right? It becomes a lot more of like they don't have the same type of trials that kids that I was playing with, I knew we're going through because part of it is, you know, the good old days at that school, you could rack up a debt and still go to school there. And then I had a friend who it took him 5 years after high school graduation to pay it off to officially receive his diploma.
Wow.
Well, I had this friend, he was doing that and it became known he had that. And we had some, our senior parents that year took care of that debt for him because of the type of human being he was. And so I was like, I want that story to be told to our athletes. And I do think it really was an impact because it then also gave me a tool when we had some kids that maybe weren't understanding that just because they weren't getting playing time, it wasn't the end of the world for them, right? Like you needed to have better perspective. I was able to then share like, well, what did he share during that retreat? How did he get through that? And so that was a key piece to integrating that. And then helping with our football program a little bit when we didn't have a priest available to do the mass, because that was very much a big part of what they did. They would have a mass on Friday, but there were times where all of a sudden you have a priest. Well, then I would help run a prayer service for them.
Nice.
And do those type of things.
Oh, so, tremendous, tremendous. And still to this day, audience, I associate Medjugorje with Father Michael Leitner, who way, way back on episode 80 of this show told an amazing story of his experience there. Mike, you went there in 2014 and 2015, and then in 2016, you went to Lourdes, and you say that preparing for Lourdes was key. How come?
Yeah, so there's a lot to that one. So Medjugorje, the first time I went, I was kind of, it was a youth pilgrimage. We were going over there for their youth at the end of July, beginning of August, they have their youth days. And there's 75,000 youth from around the world that show up. It's like a mini World Youth Day, but in Medjugorje. And so that's what we did those 2 years. And I was kind of forced into it in a, hey, you don't have to worry about cost. It's done. And then that was the first year. The second year, we had a donor who actually, my mom had gone long before to Medjugorje. And it was her dream to get our whole family back. And my whole family got to go then. All six of us went the second time I went to Medj. Well, I had no plans of going on another pilgrimage, but I was like, all right, I'll do another Marian consecration, right? Like, I've had success with those. I'll do another one. And, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to do one that where it's going to end on the Our Lady of Lourdes feast day. And so that's how I'll prepare. And if at the end of this consecration, I feel called to go to Lourdes, at that point, I'll go. So do the consecration. The day I'm supposed to consecrate myself, I'm supposed to be in St. Louis for a Marianist high school campus minister gathering for what they have a life program is what they call it. So it's in every Marianist high school has to have this life program. That's like a miniature youth group type of thing. And so I'm going to be in St. Louis for it. And I'm going to stay with one of the guys that was on our UD baseball team. Because he lived in St. Louis. I hadn't seen him and his wife in a while. So I put in his address. I'm like, all right, I got to find a parish the next day to go to Mass and do my consecration. And the closest parish to his house, and he is not Catholic himself, closest parish was Our Lady of Lourdes Parish. And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. All right, I guess I am going to Lourdes. And then the next weekend, after I'd been in St. Louis, you know, spent time in prayer there. It was a great retreat in preparation. And then next weekend, I had been on Match.com looking for a wife, right? And I'm like, screw this. I give up. I'm not going to date anymore for a while. I'm going to focus on going to Lourdes, all that. I hit cancel. And they're like, oh, no, we'll give you 6 months for the price of one. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. And I met my wife the next day. And then while I was in Lourdes, I was in prayer. We had only been dating for about 5 months at that point. But knew it was the right one and was talking to our chaplain on the trip and discerned while I was in Lourdes that I was going to ask her to marry me. And the rest is history with a wife of 9 years and two kids and one on the way. So,
wow. And audience, 3 months ago on the show, speaking of baseball and Lourdes, if you didn't hear it, it's a long episode, but it's worth the time. Mark Wegner, he is currently a Major League Baseball umpire. That was episode 358. It came out on the 15th of December. He told a story on there, very powerful story about an experience that he had with one of his sons at Lourdes. I really recommend that you go back and listen to that interview with Mark Wegner if you've not heard that one to this point. As you've heard, Mike Hendorf has a rock-solid foundation of his faith, both attending Catholic schools from grades K through 12 and then grad school. He is also going to tell us, in addition to going to the NFL Combine, about a girls' Catholic high school basketball team he worked with. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them, by the way, that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. I have to share, really quick, an embarrassing story. I got an email from GoDaddy, and I started to panic. I started having all this anxiety because I feared that it was another new bill. I started to stress over all the ongoing costs that come with operating my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Maybe you had to be there, but just the sight of that one message sitting in my email inbox really was doing a number on me. Lo and behold, after getting myself all worked up, it turned out to be the receipt showing that the renewal had gone through, that they had previously sent me a heads up, this is on its way message about. In fact, I had reported that expense just a few weeks ago on this show. Ugh. The fact remains, though, that there are costs associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, and since this is neither my full nor my part-time job, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover all these expenses. I love doing this. It's easy to get caught up in the great conversations, the enjoyment that hopefully we're all getting out of all this terrific testimony that guests are sharing, but there are actual bills that come in for a lot of what you don't know about out in the audience. I would very much appreciate your prayerful consideration of a gift in any amount. While we are still in the season of Lent, please prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your almsgiving. The simplest way to send in a gift is through the blue Donate to CSR button on the CatholicSportsRadio.net website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and it will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, and this helps if you're someone that does not want to put credit card information online, you can get in touch with me through the website, social media, or writing to me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending a check through the mail. Either way, whether you give online or send a check through the mail, as you have heard me do when guests and listeners have made a contribution, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode as a public thanks for your support of this ministry. Or, as some have chosen to do, you can direct me to instead merely keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing as I continue working to bring us all further in our walk with Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Mike, let's turn towards your role with Catholic Athletes for Christ. And folks, by the way, if you never heard my interview with Ray McKenna, the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ, go back to episode 243 to hear that conversation. Mike, before we get into some of the specifics about what your role as Director of Strategic Development at Midwest Sports Missionary entails, I would love to have you first share the story of your journey stepping into sports ministry.
Yeah, so it goes back to when I was at Chaminade Julien as a campus minister, and I got sent to a sports missionary conference that was being hosted down at the seminary in Cincinnati. Hmm. And that was my first introduction to that there was this whole world and there were these organizations that did this type of work, because it was not prevalent in the Dayton, Ohio area, right? So I went down there, I heard Bishop Papraki speak, Chris Ledger spoke, some local coaches that were involved, people out of the Louisville, Kentucky area. And I just got very inspired that, like, well, this is what we need at Chaminade Julien. And so then I start looking online, and in that process of looking at some stuff, I came across Catholic Athletes for Christ. And as I'm looking at the website, I go to the athlete advisory board, and the last name on the athlete advisory board is a very good friend of mine, the now San Diego Padres manager, Craig Stamen. And I'm like, pick up the phone, Craig, tell me about Catholic Athletes for Christ. I've never heard of them, didn't know you were involved. He started telling me about it, and I immediately looked into, well, could I bring the high school Catholic program to CJ? That ended up not working out at that time for various reasons. And in the moment, it was one of those, I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But I did not know what the Lord had in store for me for the next 10 years then. Because that didn't work out and it didn't go to that high school that I probably would have never left now, which is not a bad thing because it's my alma mater. I love the place. And now I'm back doing some work, which I'm doing this a little bit, but I would have never stepped into these other ministries and got into the development world to know how to fundraise a little better. Mm. And over the course of that time, I in particular then was back as a development director at a Catholic parish, and decided I wanted to launch a Catholic high school baseball showcase. And it was all about wanting to have really good baseball, but focus on our faith. And so we're going to bring the best Catholic high schools from the state of Ohio together. And I was talking to a mentor, and the mentor was like, well, then just do it. Like, why do you need anyone else to tell you to do it or
not? Wow, wow.
So I launched it. And Ray McKenna and I had been talking on and off over the course of those last 10 years then. And at one point when I was working at a Catholic Charities organization, he had said, like, well, Mike, you just want to come work for us. You just have to fundraise your own role. And I'm like, absolutely not, Ray. Like, I can't. At that point, we had one kid. I was like, no way. I can't become a missionary for you. But we stayed in contact. We kept talking. And he kept inviting me to the baseball retreat because he knew I loved baseball. And all these great things. And so I just called him up one day. I'm like, hey, Ray, I'm going to do this Catholic high school baseball showcase. And it's going to be awesome. I know it's going to be amazing. Can I use the CAC name as a piece of this? Like, you don't have to sponsor it technically as Catholic Athletes for Christ. I just want to use your name and use that platform. He's like, yeah, no problem, Mike. And I could run all my donations through them, because at that point now it's a part of CAC and their nonprofit. Mm. So I did the first year of it, and my wife caught me afterwards starting to talk about doing other showcases. And she's like, Mike, this is not your job. Father Brian will not be okay with you just running showcases around the country. So do you want to try to go after this as a full-time mission? Like, and I'm like, well, you know, that's what I've wanted to do for 10 years. And my wife, I love her, and she's the reason, you know, she has an amazing job that gives us the ability to make the decision. At this point, I started into a full-time missionary role in February of 25. To step into it and be a full-time missionary, out fundraising my salary and expenses to do this on a full-time capacity so I can truly walk with teams and players and, you know, go over to the NFL Combine, go out to our baseball retreat. I haven't been able to make spring training either the last 2 years, for mostly because of financial, because that's a bigger commitment, where the combine is not a big lift because it's just down the road from me in Dayton, Ohio. So I can just pop over there in my car and stay at the local church. So that's how I then stepped into it. And then Ray and I started brainstorming on what would this role look like. And that's where we started with it being a Midwest missionary role, and handling what is roughly what we're calling from all of Michigan and all of Ohio over to Indianapolis, over to Pittsburgh, and down to Louisville.
Wow.
Kind of just made up an area, but it was part of it was looking at where are professional teams that I could easily get to as we look at me trying to better have relationships with those athletes that are in those towns, but also realizing where there are pockets of a lot of Catholic high schools that it would make sense for us to build a better network.
Okay.
Because our high school programming started out of Trenton, New Jersey. And part of what makes it still going there today is it's the whole archdiocese being a part of it. And so we knew that was going to be a piece to growing this ministry, was it can't be one-off schools in a town. Well, that's fine. What you really need is like the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, that has 20 different Catholic high schools one archdiocese.
I see.
So now you can build a real network.
Wow. And audience, just a little bit of housekeeping here. When Mike said that someone said, well, what are you waiting for? Just do it yourself. Just start the thing. That is holy boldness. You hear me a lot in this show encouraging people to step out in holy boldness. And that's what Mike did. Okay, you know what? You're right. I want to start this tournament. I'm just going to go ahead and start it. He also mentioned three names: Chris Ledyard, Craig Stammen, and Bishop Paprocki. All three of those men have been guests on this show. A lot of people in the secular world would say, oh, that's a cool coincidence. It's not a coincidence. That is the Lord's hand on my ministry. I'm so blessed that the Lord fills my guest seat week after week, month after month, year after year. And so it's not a coincidence. That is the Holy Spirit moving in Catholic Sports Radio. And yes, certainly this network of people that you see how they're all connected in the ways that Mike Hendorf has just described. And Mike, a piece of housekeeping that you can do for the audience. You referred to the baseball showcase, high school teams. That's actually coming up.
Yeah, we on Friday, March 27th, and Saturday, March 28th, so just coming up here at the end of the week, we will be bringing 8 of the best Catholic high schools from around the state of Ohio together for the third year now. And they will play in their opening game. So they just come into town for one game. We host it at the World Headquarters for Athletes in Action, which is right outside Dayton, Ohio, where they have a turf field, so we don't have to worry about weather other than if it's too cold. And they have dorms for the teams to stay in, and they have a banquet center for us to host a big welcome dinner we do on Friday night. So the first year we called it the welcome dinner because no one was playing on Friday. But then Ohio last year moved Ohio high school opening day to Friday, so we added the game to be played on Friday. So we play a game on Friday. Mm. This year it's the second straight year, it's a team out of just north of Cincinnati and a team out of Toledo. And then that Friday night we will be having – we always have a guest speaker. So the first year it was Craig Stammen. The last year it was Father Joe Krupp, who goes by Joe in Black Ministries on social media, former chaplain of Michigan State, in particular with both Tom Izzo and Mark Antonio. And Father Joe is a long time, I'm going to say he's a long time friend to me because I've been following him and been to his masses many times over the years. We've since become friends after he came to our event last year. But then this year, our guest speaker is JJ Necro. Nephew of legendary knuckleballer Phil Necro, and dad is the all-time wins holder for the Houston Astros, and Joe Necro. And so I met him. He came to our CAC baseball retreat 2 years ago while he was still playing. And then last August ended up retiring after just a couple arm injuries and just not having the heart to stay in baseball, but really loved ministry. And so now he's more stepped into doing this work and really working with CAC in a new level. And so we're bringing him in this year to be our speaker. And then we'll have three games on Saturday. And the whole weekend is about having the best baseball we possibly can have. And this goes back to Bishop Paprocki. Bring them in on what they want to be at. So these kids want to play in the best high school baseball game they can play in. But once I've got them there, now it's our job to evangelize them and help them grow in their relationship with Christ. And Amen. So that's what we do.
Amen.
And the best part to me is two examples of the fruit of just 2 years of actually hosting it. The first year I had two local teams that are bitter league rivals, and I use bitter because they did not like each other. And if you ask them one-on-one, they just didn't like them because they were fighting for league championships with each other. And they normally would face each other in the tournament in some capacity on a regular basis. And during a key piece to what makes this dinner work is the first year we only had six teams, but now that we have eight, there's eight seats at the table. So every table at the dinner has one person from each team.
Whoa.
At it. So we forced them to get to know other Catholic high school baseball players. And at that, organically, we don't force who's going to be at what table. It's just one person per team. One of the best players on one of the rival teams and one of the best players from the other team ended up at a table together. And after the dinner, they have time to be in fellowship if they're staying in the dorms. And all of a sudden, they were doing prayer and some meditation stuff together.
Wow.
All of a sudden, the walls started to break down. And that, while the alums may still have some distaste for each other, the friendships that started to come out of those two programs that were not happening prior to me was the best fruit that could come out of it to begin with.
Then
last year, while we had some of the best baseball talent in the state of Ohio on the field, what the messages I got following it had nothing to do with the baseball outside of the scout that was there. He talked to me about the baseball, but everyone else, it was about the message they got at the Friday dinner from Father Joe. And that was what they talked about and how much they wanted to tell me. They kept listening to his podcast and his weekly homilies that he posted. And that was their takeaway. That to me was like, all right, well, we just did what we were supposed to do.
And
that's been the fruit of it. And now we're getting close to where we probably will be able to start doing these through the CAC ministry in some other regions. Once we get through this third year, we're adding a couple. This year we're going to add in, hopefully, as long as everything comes together, because I know pre-schedules can change sometimes. The goal is post-dinner this year, we're actually going to introduce adoration and confession as a part of the Friday night.
Wonderful.
You know, all the teams that stay there on Saturday morning, we have mass together. And so just all these different pieces where we are intentionally integrating amazing athletics with amazing faith opportunities that hopefully help these kids really start to put their lives in perspective and put their faith as a key piece to what they're doing. And I've had multiple people as a part of my CAC ministry also as we started to do similar what you're doing, where we're having, you know, I have a podcast and I'm interviewing a lot of our athletes we interact with, really. And two different ones recently just said, when I was younger, faith and my sport, for both these guys, it was baseball, right? Like, both of them, they were two separate things. I loved both of them, but I didn't look at them as being combined. But now they are who they are because of those integration. Yeah. And now when I have a moment of stress in sports, I'm leaning on my faith. It's not that I'm oh, I'm going to do this myself, whatever. It's no, I'm going to offer this up in prayer. And that's been, for me personally, and I can only imagine for you getting to do these interviews, what you get out of it. That's been one of the coolest things for me, is those conversations I now get to record and go back to listen to if I want to, or just as I'm reviewing it, to realize how many people in the world are really doing this, but you are giving a voice to it, and you're starting to see more and more of being able to share these stories. And my favorite part is, you know, you have someone on, I've interviewed them after you've interviewed them, and I get a different story out of them. Or like I had Trevor That's right. Williams on, I was giving him a hard time. I had him on, you know, I love my interview with him, and I go to the SEAT conference, and he's doing the Focus Mission, the Varsity Catholic podcast, and he shared a story, and I was there with him. I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, Trevor, why didn't you give me that story? Like, that's the story I was looking for, my man. But it's fun because it all comes down to what question do you ask, and there's so many different paths, and the Lord is going to allow us to share what story he wants us to share.
That's right. So. That's right. Wow. Just tremendous testimony, And audience, he mentioned J.J. Negro. J.J. Negro is also a guest on the show. I hope you're hearing these interviews. I hope you're going to go back to some of the names that I've mentioned and listen to those conversations if you hadn't heard them before. I want to flip sexes and flip sports. I promised I would have you tell us, Mike, about, do I have this right, a girls' Catholic high school basketball team you worked with?
Yeah, so the Chaminade Julian, where I used to work, their women's basketball coach that took over 5 years ago. So this program, their women's basketball program, is one of the best programs in the history of Ohio high school athletics. So while I was there, they won 3 state championships and lost in the state finals 2 other years in my time being around there as a junior high to high school student around the program. And then they won 1 more state championship after I was gone. And then they kind of had a downturn, and a good friend of mine who I went to Chaminade Julian with, and then he married one of my good friends who I worked at Chaminade Julian with. He was named the head basketball coach 5 years ago. And Logan Allen is an amazing human being. He is an awesome person, more so than the amazing basketball coach that I already knew he was. And then when he got the job, I said, Logan, I know you are going to put CJ back to where they belong. And I think it's going to take you no more than 3 to 5 years. Well, this was his 5th year. And in the preseason, I've been working with their AD, who also went to high school with me. And I was like, hey, man, like these baseball retreats I did, like I could do those for your teams, whatever you want to do. And both basketball teams said, yes, let's do a preseason retreat together. Mm. And so we gathered with each of the men's team first, and then I did the women's team, and we picked the virtue. So men's basketball, they wanted to focus on humility. And the women's basketball team, Logan and I were talking, and let's do gratitude. And I'm like, I love it. Let's talk about gratitude. And Logan had his own ideas, and I'll share one of his things he decided to do. But then for me, it was, I'm going to focus on the faith piece of this. He's going to build more on the whole culture of what this program has been. And so I shared some great opportunities in prayer. We broke open scripture. We did a couple activities together. And their team had a bunch of seniors that are really good and a bunch of freshmen are really good. And what he was focused on is, how do I bring these two groups together to really build a team? And also, how do I help them appreciate the opportunities they're being given, but also appreciate the foundation that was laid long before them? And so his idea, which I thought was key and I think played a part in what they ended up doing here and finishing out last weekend, was we had a really, probably the most famous women's basketball player in the history is Tamika Williams. Played at the University of Connecticut, was one of their best players back then, when they had 5 players that all got drafted in the WNBA together. She's now the head coach at the University of Dayton. But so he pulled out the yearbooks from Tamika's senior year, and we lost in the state finals that year, all the way through last year. And every yearbook is out. And what he had the girls do was walk around to the yearbooks and try to find as many of the people they could on various old teams that are wearing the number they're going to wear. And then they wrote letters of thank you for building the program they get to be a part of.
So cool.
And Logan shared a couple of personal stories as well. And I was able to share my life experiences of being a person who wants, you know, since I was working at CJ till now, wanting to integrate these things and helping give them the tools of how you do that. And they got gratitude journals, all these different things that it was like, all right, we're going to set them up for success. And Logan put together a really tough schedule. So he tested them all year and had some tough losses, but, you know, was really excited for where he was going to go in the tournament. And they proceeded to just win tight game after tight game after tight game. And then in the state semifinal, they're playing, luckily, in Ohio. Right now, the Ohio High School basketball tournament is played in Dayton, Ohio. So they don't have to travel far from their school to get to play in it. So they're playing at Wright State University's Nutter Center. And they are just struggling. And they just not were great in the state semifinal. But then, and they were playing against another girl who was up for Ohio Miss Basketball. And she was playing like Ohio Miss Basketball in the second half. And then all of a sudden, their two freshmen and their two seniors and their other role players, all of a sudden something clicked. And they went on a 13-2 run to get to a state final.
Whoa.
Then they're going to play Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, which everyone knows is LeBron James's former school.
Yeah.
But in their state semifinal, this team beats the other state semifinal team by 35 points.
Oh.
And puts up like 83, and you're just like, oh, man, like, this, what's tomorrow going to look like? Like, it's so awesome that they got here. Like, it's the first time TJ's been back here in a while. And then they come out and just dominate the first half. And then play a great third quarter and then slowly lose the lead in the fourth quarter, but then turn it on right at the end, and they win their first state championship since 2005. And it just was – it was so fun to watch because being friends with the coach, getting to know the players a little bit, because then, you know, you took my daughter, my six-year-old, down to a game, and all of a sudden she likes basketball and before I couldn't get her to – care about basketball at all, but because she watched this team play, all of a sudden now she wants to play basketball. So all of that put together, it was just fun to see a team come together from start to finish, and know the coach and the person he was, and that he, to start the year, said, hey, I know we got to bring a faith piece into this. Like, I could put together a great culture day, but I need you to come in and do a faith piece, because that's not my specialty. And that's where I think CAC can become a key as we look to grow our high school programming in particular, is there's a lot of schools that can do some good work from a Catholic perspective. But unless you have the resources to hire a specific person that this is what they want to do, or your athletic director has that mission heart, it's going to be hard to really integrate it into your program.
Yeah.
Unless you're intentional about it. And so I've been blessed to work now with a couple individual programs that's what they did. But now we're looking to say, how do you walk into a whole athletic department and give the resources to walk with coaches, walk with athletic directors, and then walk with the athletes to do that, where it's not just the men's and women's basketball team did it. It's now every program at the high school has a preseason retreat that helps them, because that's the other piece of this, is at no point during that day on the opening retreat for women's basketball did they ever mention wins and losses.
So good.
Right? Everything that day was about, this is the culture we want to build, and we are stepping into gratitude because that is what's most important to us right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mike, we're out of time. I just want you really quickly, 25 words or less, just tell the audience about the NFL Combine as far as what Catholic Athletes for Christ does there.
We set up a chapel. They've been doing it for almost 20 years now outside of COVID year. We have a chapel now there where we celebrate daily mass, offer confessions. Not a lot of players come through it. It's more ends up being team personnel and coaches and agents. So
awesome. And in closing, your wife, remind us how long the two of you have been married. And you said two children and a third on the way?
Yes, married for 9 years now, and two girls and one on the way.
Outstanding, outstanding. Audience, please be in prayer for Mike. The work that you hear that he's doing through Catholic Athletes for Christ, everything he just described that they're trying to get off the ground, please be in prayer for his wife and the expectant child that'll be added to their family. Mike, so wonderful to talk to you today. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing for the kingdom. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
I love being here, Bruce.
Audience, you heard about all the coaching today that Mike has done over the years, so I thought it fitting that we close with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Thank you, God, for the love and compassion you show me when I fall short of your expectations. Help me to inspire those I interact with to be what you know they could be. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.